Welcome to the Big Drink Rethink, the podcast for anyone questioning their relationship with alcohol or simply wondering what more life might hold. I'm Anna Donaghy, alcohol mindset coach, author and former strategist, and each episode is going to blend lived experience, psychological insight and powerful tools to help you understand your habits and gently rethink your drinking in a way that throws open oodles of possibilities. So whether you're trying to quit, cut down, or you're just plain curious, then you are in the right place. Let's rethink things together and explore what you're really thirsty for. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Big Drink Rethink. I'm going to start with a question. How are you actually doing right now in the middle of summer? Not how it looks, not the version you would post. I mean, underneath it all. Because I've been having a version of the same conversation with quite a few people recently, and there's a pattern that I keep hearing, and it goes something like this. Summer's supposed to be the easy bit. It's supposed to be the let-up, the bit after the hard slog of the school year, the relaxed bit where you get a break, and then it arrives, and somehow it is just not that. And if anything, you're even more tired than you were in term time, more frazzled, more on all the time. So why doesn't summer feel like a break? I want to spend some time today on that question because for a lot of people, it sits right underneath their relationship with alcohol at this time of year. So let's start with the promise, okay? Because it does come with a promise culturally, seasonally, in the language we use, holidays, a break. I love this one. Time off. There's a version of summer in our heads, which kind of looks like long, lazy days. Everyone's a bit more relaxed. Everyone's a bit more present. And it is the kind of thing that gets sold to us in adverts. So white linen curtains fluttering through open windows, jugs of freshly squeezed lemonade, kids jumping through sprinklers. What a load of bollocks. The real thing looks more like this. If you've got kids who are at home from school, the structure that normally holds your day together, so things like the school run and the hours where you know where everyone is and what they're doing, the bit of headspace that you get between drop-off and pick-up, well, in the summer, that just goes, poof, evaporates. And what replaces it isn't rest. It's a different, much more chaotic, much less predictable kind of work. You become more or less constantly the activities coordinator, the referee, the chef, the emotional thermostat for everyone else's mood. And that's before everyone else has even asked what's for dinner, which, by the way, they will repeatedly, often before they've even finished the meal that you've just made them. So that's when you've got young kids. If your kids are older, let's say they're back from university, that brings its own version of this. So the house fills up again. Patterns that you might have just adjusted to with them being away change again overnight. There's washing. Oh my God, stacks of washing. And a fridge that empties at an alarming rate. Extra demands on you again. Now, none of this is obviously a complaint about the people involved, and I want to be really, really clear about that. This isn't about not loving your kids, whatever age they are, or not wanting them around. It's not about not being grateful for them. It's just about what happens to you, your time, your headspace, your sense of boundaries, when all of that other stuff lands at once, whilst the season is telling you that this is supposed to feel like a holiday. Because here's the thing. If summer is supposed to feel restful, and it isn't, there's a gap. And into that gap can creep a sense that you're doing it wrong, that everyone else may be experiencing that lovely garden breeze, fluttering white linen curtains and giggling kids, a restorative version of summer that was promised, and you're just somehow knackered, behind on stuff and not quite managing. It can make it feel like you're doing it wrong. So, just to recap, the promise of summer is rest and lightness and time off. The reality for a lot of people is more demands, less structure, more invisible labour than term time without anywhere to put it all down. And the gap between those two things doesn't just feel disappointing. It can feel like a verdict on you. Now, here's where it gets interesting, I think, because it's not just that summer is busier than people sometimes expect. It comes with its own quiet performance review. When you think about what summer is supposed to look like, if you're doing it right, you're supposed to be making memories, creating magic, being the person who plans the day out, packs the perfect picnic, suggests the spontaneous trip to the coast, keeps everyone's mood up, manages your partner's stress and your own, and possibly your in-laws too if they've come and landed. But somehow you're supposed to do all of this with what looks like ease, because if it looks effortful, you're doing it wrong somehow. And even rest gets swept away into performance. You finally get 5 minutes, you know, genuinely nothing to do, nobody needing anything. And what happens? For a lot of people, what happens is guilt. Shouldn't I be doing something with this? Reading that book, going for that walk, making the most of it. 5 minutes stops being rest and starts being another thing to optimize. So the internal switch that's supposed to flip to off during the summer, for a lot of people, it just doesn't. You're on emotionally, mentally, logistically, pretty much the whole time. And by the evening, when everyone else has gone to bed and the house is finally quiet, that's often the first moment all day when nothing is being asked of you. And that's exactly the moment a drink can slide into. Not because of sunshine, not because of an occasion and the other sort of summer scripts, but because it's the most obvious, most culturally available signal that says the day is over now and you can stop. And I think that's really worth thinking about, because it's a different mechanism from a lot of what we've talked about recently with the summer scripts on this show. It's not really about craving in the moment because the sun is out, or, you know, a particular script tied to a cue like a barbecue. It's about depletion, looking for an off switch. And the drink becomes the fastest, most familiar way of finding one. So to recap, summer doesn't just demand more of you practically, it comes with its own performance pressure, where even rest can feel like something that you're failing to do properly. And when the off switch never gets flipped during the day, the evening drink can become less about the day's events and more about finally being allowed to stop. So I want to offer something which I think is genuinely useful. And it comes from a slightly unexpected place, from a British paediatrician and psychoanalyst called Donald Winnicott. He wrote back in the 1950s and 60s, and he came up with a concept called the good enough mother. And what Winnicott was pushing back against was exactly this idea that a parent needs to be endlessly attuned, endlessly patient, endlessly available, and getting it right all the time. His argument was actually the opposite. He said children don't need that. In fact, he said, they're better off without it. What a child actually needs is a parent who is responsive, not perfect. Really importantly, not perfect. Just responsive. Someone who sometimes gets it wrong, sometimes snaps, sometimes forgets, sometimes isn't quite present, but who always repairs, who shows over and over that connection can wobble and then be rebuilt, that a bad moment doesn't mean a bad relationship. That's not a flaw in the parenting, he argues. It's what actually builds resilience and trust far more than an unbroken record of getting everything right all the time. Now, I think this matters enormously for what we're talking about today, because so much of what drives the summer pressure I've just described is an invisible standard. Good summers look like this. Good mums do this. A good version of me would be enjoying this more, doing more with it, not feeling this frazzled. And when we're chasing that, when we're trying to be the good version, the seamless version, That's often exactly when a drink starts to look like the only way to bridge the gap between how we're supposed to feel and how we actually feel. It becomes a thing that kind of quietens the gap and takes the edges off the falling short feeling. But if good enough is actually enough, if a wobble or a snap or an unplanned day, or, you know, we're just staying in and watching telly afternoon, if that doesn't do anything, if it doesn't undo anything, then a lot of that pressure simply isn't real. It was never the actual standard. It was simply the standard we'd absorbed and started measuring ourselves against. And here's what I think is genuinely freeing about that. If you do not need to be the seamless, golden summer version of yourself, then you don't need the drink that's propping that version up. The performance and the prop go together. Drop the performance, and the other gets a lot less necessary. So good enough isn't a lowered bar. It's closer to the actual bar. And a parent or anyone who responds rather than performs, who repairs rather than never ruptures, is doing it right. And once you let go of the idea that summer has to look a certain way, a lot of the pressure that was quietly fueling the evening drink starts to loosen too. So in practical terms, what do you actually do with all of this? I don't want to give you another list of summer activities or hacks for keeping the kids entertained. That's not what this is about. What I want to offer instead is something simpler, a different question to ask yourself at the point in the day where the soddy, I deserve this feeling tends to show up around alcohol. By the time you get to that point, let's say it's early evening, you know, whenever it arrives for you normally, you will have probably have made hundreds of small decisions already. What everyone's eating, where things are, whether there was a meltdown or, you know, loads and loads and loads of things. You know all the stuff I'm talking about, but you're knackered at that point. You're depleted. And depleted brains don't make considered choices. They reach for the fastest relief available. So the moment to intervene is not at 6 o'clock in the evening. It's earlier in the day when you've still got headspace, asking, you know, what does my evening self actually need? In other words, to arrive at this evening, not feeling depleted, what do I need? Not what would be virtuous, not what would look good, but what would genuinely help? Maybe that's having something other than wine chilled and ready, so it's not a choice in the moment. But maybe, and I really would suggest this, it's about protecting 20 minutes that are actually yours earlier, rather than hoping that you'll find them later. A proper restorative rest where you get to go outside, take some deep breaths. And maybe it's just lowering the bar on what the day needs to achieve in advance so you're not measuring yourself against something unreasonable by the time the evening rolls in. It's a small act. It can be a very small act. But it's an act of kindness towards the tired version of you who's going to be standing in the kitchen later. You're not disciplining her. You're just looking out for her. And underneath all of that, I think the question worth carrying through the rest of the summer is the one we started with, just turned slightly, not why doesn't summer feel like a break, but what would actually need to be true for it to feel like one, not the Instagram version, yours. And is there anything even small that you could do today that moves you a fraction closer to that? And it's going to be different for everyone, right? For some people, it's just about time and space. Maybe it's one morning a week where you don't have to be anywhere by a certain time. Maybe it's eating breakfast alone before everyone else shows up so that you've got that calm moment. Maybe it's not checking your phone for the first 20 minutes of the day. Again, calm moments, collected moments before the day arrives. Or maybe it's a daily walk routine, just 20 minutes without headphones, listening to the birds. Maybe it's about permission. Just giving yourself an afternoon that isn't optimized for everybody else. Maybe it's saying no to one thing on the social calendar that you only said yes to out of obligation. Maybe it's cooking something you actually want to eat rather than what everyone else will accept. Maybe it's an evening where the TV goes on and nobody needs anything and you can just shut the door on it and you don't feel guilty about it. So if you have been feeling like summer was supposed to be the easy bit and it isn't proving to be, I hope that today's episode has done a couple of things. First of all, that it's named something real rather than something you're failing at. The gap between the promise of summer and the reality of it isn't a personal shortfall. It's just the gap. A lot of people are standing in it right now. And second, that good enough might be a kinder, truer, and frankly more accurate standard than the one you've been holding yourself to. Not as a consolation prize, by the way, but as the actual point. You don't need the golden summer. You need the real one. Bubbles, snaps, rants, unplanned days and all. That's not you falling short of summer. That's just what summer honestly looks like. It's a bit messy, but it's enough. All right, well, look, as usual, thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with another episode of The Big Drink Rethink. Thank you for listening and getting curious. Please rate, review, and follow this podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're choosing to listen. It really helps other people find the show. And don't forget to tune in to the next episode. And you can find all of my resources and become part of The Big Drink Rethink by heading to my website, thebigdrinkrethink.com.